His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Landanishwar Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Naruttamam.
Naram Chaiva.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tato Jayamudiraye
Tato Jayamudiraye
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavat Yuktama Shloke
Bhagavat Yuktama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki
Om Jnanati Miram Dhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। आई एम हैप्पी टू बी बैक विद ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस लंदन रिट्रीट, virtual retreat on Krishna in Vrindavan. I'm sure you've been having a wonderful, transcendentally enlivening time hearing all the other speakers. Today, the topic I have been requested to speak on is worshipping Govardhan Hill, chapters 24, 25, 26 and 27 of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Naturally, it is very difficult to speak in detail on all these four chapters in a matter of an hour and a quarter or hour and a half. So we will necessarily have to summarize certain portions. But the pastime of Govardhan Puja and Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill and protecting his dear devotees, the Vrajavasis, these are very celebrated pastimes that devotees remember very fondly even 5,000 years later. It's one of those immortal pastimes that will continue on in the memory of the devotee community for all time to come. Krishna was about 7 years old at the time of this pastime. So let's begin with chapter 24. In this chapter, we hear Shukadev Goswami describing how Lord Sri Krishna crushes the pride of Indra by prohibiting a sacrifice that the Vrajavasis had originally intended to do for him, and instead, being persuaded by Krishna, they performed a sacrifice in honor of the cows, the brahmanas and Govardhan Hill. So the chapter begins with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men making preparations for a big sacrificial ceremony. In his childlike curiosity, Sri Krishna approaches his father and asks him what the ceremony is all about, and suggests that amongst family members and those who are close to us, there should be no secrets. So please tell me what it is that you are planning to do. So Nanda Maharaj replied, "We are a farming community. We are a community who are in our life that depends on the cows. The cows need to graze. For grazing there has to be grass. For grass there needs to be rain. And for rainfall we need the mercy of Lord Indra. Therefore, Lord Indra is the one whom we must propitiate and satisfy so that we may live happily and that all our needs may be met." So Krishna then begins a reply that is very interesting. He speaks many philosophical points that are actually against his own teachings elsewhere and also here in this Srimad Bhagavatam. But the purpose of doing that is ultimately to somehow or the other convince the Vrajavasis to not perform this sacrificial ceremony for Indra and to do it instead for Govardhan Hill. So he begins by speaking what is called the Karmavada, the philosophy of karma, also called the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, in which essentially the predominance or the ultimate position, the supremacy of karma is proclaimed. So Sri Krishna starts off by speaking this Karma Mimamsa and says that actually it is because of karma alone that we take birth in certain kinds of bodies and we experience varieties of suffering and happiness which are essentially the results of our karma. And when that karma runs out, then you know, it gets exhausted and we continue. And therefore it is karma alone that is responsible for our well-being, or for our happiness and our sorrow. So what has Indra got to do with it? And even if there is a Supreme Lord, then he must be obliged to the laws of karma. Because it is only when the individuals perform karma that he will be in a position to award them the results of their karma. So in any case, even if there is a Lord, he doesn't have a role to play, and it's ultimately the individuals performing karma, and therefore karma is supreme, nobody else. Of course, Lord Krishna deliberately speaks his philosophy and omits to address the issue of who made the law of karma in the first place, who decided that a certain type of karma would elicit suffering and another type of karma would elicit happiness or pleasure. Who is it that oversees the implementation of this law? Who is it that enforces the suffering or happiness upon living entities? And who is it that empowers the living entities to imagine and think about different types of karmas, and who gives them the strength, the ability, the situation and the circumstances in which they can perform this karma? So this Karma Mimamsa philosophy is of course wrong, but as I mentioned earlier, Krishna's immediate purpose is to somehow or other dissuade his dear Brajabasi devotees from performing this sacrifice for Indra. And an interesting point comes up here, which is that even if Krishna speaks something which is against the scripture, we cannot accept it. So here Krishna is speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy. We understand from Bhagavad Gita and from Srimad Bhagavatam and from various other scriptures that this Karma Mimamsa philosophy is very much mistaken, because it does not understand the role that a Supreme Lord plays in the implementation and the activation of the law of karma. So even if Krishna says something that apparently conflicts or even truly conflicts with the teachings of the scriptures, then we must examine why. We cannot quote it out of context. So having explained the Karma Mimamsa philosophy and given a few variations to that, and time does not permit us to go into that today, then he speaks about another mistaken and a wrong philosophy, which is the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, in which he essentially speaks about the mechanistic nature of existence, or the mechanistic theory of this material world, in which it says that the cause of everything is simply the blind working of nature. Nature is comprised of the three modes of material nature, and these modes interact in certain ways and produce certain reactions, sometimes leading to happiness, sometimes to distress, and sometimes it leads to rainfall, sometimes it leads to drought. And therefore it is the three modes of material nature that blindly interact with each other, and there is no question of any personality or of God who is underlying this or who is behind this. Of course, this is also a mistaken idea, and it is quite prevalent today. especially amongst those people who are influenced by the ideas of modern science and modern philosophy. So you see that these ideas that have been propounded in the last century or so are not really new ideas. They have been existing from time immemorial, and Krishna has only voiced those ideas that had been existing even far before he advented on this planet. And he actually wanted to draw attention to this, and in other places in the Bhagavatam he is going to condemn such ideas. So in any case, he speaks that atheistic Sankhya philosophy, and then he speaks about the need to connect and relate to the environment. He says, my dear father, we are all ultimately cowherds, and as you have rightly said, that we depend on the cows who depend on the grass, and therefore the grass grows in the forest, it grows in Govardhan Hill. So therefore these should be our worshipable objects. So giving up the worship of Lord Indra, let us perform a sacrificial ceremony to worship the cows, to worship the Brahmanas, to worship Govardhan Hill, and let us appreciate all the forests that we have around us. In this way, Krishna, somehow or the other, brings them to the point where they agree to perform this kind of sacrifice. Now the question may arise, why did Krishna want to dissuade Nanda Maharaj from performing a sacrifice for the pleasure of Indra? So the celebrated commentator, the original commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami, has said that the first and most important reason that Krishna was trying to dissuade Nanda Maharaj and the others from performing the Indra Yajna was that he wanted to knock down the mountain of pride that had somehow grown in Indra's heart. And Indra was actually his devotee. He was his representative as the king of the Devas. Originally, of course, the ultimate king of everything is Krishna. So Krishna is the original Indra. But sometimes it so happens that even devotees of the Lord get puffed up with false pride. And that becomes a dangerous situation for the devotee and perhaps for others as well. So therefore, Krishna saw that this was quite unbecoming of Indra as a devotee and as a king of the demigods, and therefore he wanted to crush his pride. This was the first reason why Krishna dissuaded Nanda Maharaj from performing this sacrifice. The second reason, according to Sridhar Swami, is that he wanted to initiate a very blissful Govardhan Puja festival, which would then be celebrated year after year for a long, long time to come. You see, after all, what are our festivals? Our festivals, they celebrate certain important occasions in the life and pertaining to the teachings of the Supreme Lord and His great devotees. So when the Lord appears here on this earth, He performs so many types of activities that provide subject matter for the devotees to hear about, chant about and remember, and also to celebrate in the form of festivals. So therefore, the Govardhan Puja festival was something that Krishna wanted to initiate. And for this reason, it was essential that instead of having Indra sacrifice, the Govardhan Puja would be done. The third reason was that Krishna wanted to enjoy, and he wanted the Vrajavasis to also enjoy a very special pastime. And that pastime was that all the Vrajavasis and Krishna would be together 24/7, literally, for 1 week and 24 hours a day together under the Govardhan Hill. Now, and this is my comment, not Sridhar Swami's comment, that generally Krishna would leave in the morning to graze the cows and return in the evening. So for many hours in a day, the Vrajavasis were unable to see Krishna physically in front of them. And this was an issue of great distress for them. And here there would be an occasion when they would all be able to see Krishna for 24 hours in a day and for 7 consecutive days. And there would be so many wonderful exchanges of transcendental mellows between Krishna and his beloved devotees. And therefore this Govardhan lifting pastime would also be one of those celebrated pastimes that would be observed by the devotees for many, many years to come. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he adds another reason for Krishna dissuading Nanda Maharaj from performing the Indra Yajna. And Jiva Goswami says that Krishna was thinking, these are my devotees. Why do they need to perform a sacrifice for some other god like Indra, who is in any case my appointee, he's my devotee, he's my representative. So they're living with me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and giving my worship up, they are actually going to worship an ordinary demigod. That's not becoming of my devotees. And of course later Krishna also wanted to establish the identity of the Govardhan Hill with himself. So in any case, these are the different reasons why Krishna dissuaded Nanda Maharaj and the others from performing the Indra Yajna. And then he called together the cowherd folk of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, and he said, please let us worship the cows, the brahmanas and Govardhan Hill. Krishna is of course known as Go Brahmana Hitayacha. He is the one who is the well-wisher of the cows, of the brahmanas, and naturally so these would be in his mind when he spoke of worship. So along with Govardhan, then Krishna also recommended that they should worship the cows and the brahmanas. He instructed the Vrajavasis to prepare a wide variety of delicious foodstuffs in huge quantities, and the Vrajavasis went about that. And then he said, have the brahmanas come here, assemble here, and perform sacrifices for the pleasure of Govardhan and the cows, and let them chant the required mantras. And after that has been done, feed all the living entities, all the people of the different varnas, also feed the cows, feed the brahmanas before that. And then all of you, or all of us, we will circumambulate the brahmanas, the cows, the sacred fires, and also Govardhan Hill, after we have all dressed nicely. So the Vrajavasis did everything exactly as Krishna had suggested. And then Shukadev Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit that actually the parikrama of the Govardhan Hill began. So Krishna inaugurated not only the Govardhan Puja, but also the Govardhan Parikrama. So in any case, so this was something that he asked all of them to do. So they went on the Parikrama, the gopis were following on ox carts, and they were singing the glories of Krishna, and the singing of the gopis was mingling with the auspicious chants of the brahmanas. And in this way, a very, very divine atmosphere was created. Everybody was in great bliss. And when the offerings were to be made to Govardhan, the Vrajavasis had cooked many, many items, and they were all placed in front of Govardhan. The Vrajavasis requested Govardhan to accept that offering. And then Govardhan did something miraculous. Actually, Krishna took on a gigantic form of Govardhan. And with that form, he actually consumed all the offerings that the Brajavasis had brought for him. And he declared to them that when Indra, when you do offerings for Indra, Indra does not personally come before you and accept your offerings. But look, I am coming here in person to accept your offerings. So what was the reason that Govardhan himself came in such a gigantic form and accepted the offerings? The first reason is that he wanted to convince the Vrajavasis that Govardhan was non-different from him. So therefore, as devotees of Krishna, we accept the identity of Govardhan with Krishna. And the pebbles and the stones from Govardhan Hill are called Shalagram Shilas. These Shilas are considered as good as Lord Krishna, non-different from him, and very worshipable. And therefore, when we circumambulate Govardhan Hill, we take extreme care to not touch Govardhan with our feet. And the second reason that Krishna expanded himself as a gigantic form of Govardhan was that he wanted to reassure the Vrajavasis that they had nothing to fear. Just in case the Vrajavasis were thinking, oh, we have been worshipping Indra for all these years, and now all of a sudden we've stopped this worship, Indra may get infuriated and he may punish us in different ways. So just in case the Vrajavasis were so fearful in this way, Krishna manifested this form to give them reassurance and tell them that don't worry, everything will be all right. Of course, this pastime of Krishna as Govardhan accepting all the offerings is very much popular amongst the devotees, and we speak the word aniyor. All of us have heard this word, especially when you come to Vrindavan and you circumambulate Govardhan, then you will go to a village called aniyor where this had actually happened. And even Krishna, Govardhan's accepting of the prasadam is a big pastime. It will take time, but people from various parts of Raj came and they offered everything they had to Govardhan. And in this way, after they had made their offerings to Govardhan and Govardhan had accepted everything, not once, but it took several such offerings. And then finally, when Govardhan was satisfied, Krishna asked everybody to offer obeisances to Govardhan Hill. And Krishna personally also offered obeisances to himself in the form of Govardhan Hill. And then all of them returned home. So in this way, the 24th chapter concludes. And then there is the 25th chapter, which is titled Krishna Lifts Govardhan Hill. So the summary of this chapter is that Indra was overcome by anger when he saw that the paraphernalia that was originally intended to be used for sacrifices meant for his pleasure was now being diverted for a sacrifice for something else, and just a mountain, and that too at the behest of just this small boy called Krishna. So he was infuriated and he began to speak like a madman, and he called the Samvartaka clouds, which are clouds which pour down incessant torrential rainfall only at the time of destruction. Such is the quantity of rain that they can shower, and such is the ferocity with which the downpour takes place, that the utility of the Samvartaka clouds is reserved only for the time of universal destruction, not at other times. But when one becomes proud, and one becomes angry because one's pride has been hurt, then one can do all sorts of things that defy reason and logic. So Indra then called the Samvartaka clouds and he said to himself that this is something that was completely unpardonable. Shukadeva Goswami uses the phrase Ishamani. He began to speak in great pride, considering himself to be the supreme controller. Isha means the Lord. Mani means thinking oneself to be. So Ishamani is a syndrome that characterizes the conditioned living entity in this world. And it is so dangerous that it can come even amongst devotees who are in such exalted positions as Indra, the king of heaven. And then Krishna, or rather Indra, he becomes so angry. Then he calls the Samvartaka clouds and he tells them, Aho Shri Madamahatmyam Gopanam Kananaukasam Krishna Martyam Upashritya Ye Chakrur Deva Helanam. He says, Aho, oh just see, Shri Mada. Shri means opulence, Mada means pride. They're intoxicated by their opulence. Mahatma means something very enormous. So just see how enormously intoxicated these Vrajavasis have become with their opulence. They have become so proud. Who has become so proud? Gopanam, all the Gopas. Kanana means the forest, Okasam means residence. So these residents of the forest, these gopas, have become completely intoxicated with their power, with their opulence. And they have taken shelter, Krishna Martyam Upashritya. Upashritya means they have taken shelter of. Of whom? Krishna. And who is this Krishna? Martyam. He is just an ordinary human being. Ye Chakrur Deva Helanam. And therefore these Vrajavasis have acted in an offensive way against the Devas, against the demigods. Of course, Krishna meant to, Indra, I beg your pardon, meant to say that it was an offense against himself. But he used the collective term and said Deva Helanam against the demigods. But then very quickly he corrected that and made sure that it was understood that it was an offense to him and none else. And then he says, Vachalam Balisham Staptam Agyam Panditamaninam Krishna Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrura Priyam. So a similar verse to that, in which he criticizes and blasphemes Krishna rather severely. He uses six kinds of shall we say six words to criticize Indra. The first one is Vachalam, which means that he is excessively talkative. Balisham, he is extremely childish. Stabdham, he is very arrogant. Agyam, he is ignorant and foolish. Pandita Maninam, he thinks himself to be a great Pandita or a scholar. Krishnam, this Krishna, Martyam, he's just an ordinary human being. And the Gopa, and all these coward men, Upashritya, they've taken shelter of him. And what have they done? Chakrur Apriyam. They may Chakrur, may refers to himself, Indra, that these Gopas have acted unfavorably towards me. Srila Sridhar Swami gives an interesting explanation of how Goddess Saraswati turns around these words to mean something that is actually favorable to Krishna, and then she presents them at Krishna's lotus feet with the hope that Krishna will forgive Indra for his diatribe and his rant against Krishna. So in any case, then Indra tells the Samvartaka clouds, now you go and shower the torrential rains upon the residents of Vrindavan, they have become too proud. So Samvartaka cloud was a little perplexed, but then it had to follow its master. So the Samvartaka clouds came, and this there was such heavy downpour, the likes of which the world had not seen for a long time, and certainly not the Vrajavasis. The rain was falling in massive columns, not in the form of drops. There was hailstones coming, falling. There were sharp winds, there was thunder, and there was lightning flashing. It was a thoroughly frightening situation. And it was so cold, the Vrajavasis were wet and they were shivering, and the cows and calves were panic-stricken. And the Vrajavasis, the Gopas, they were trying to cover the bodies of the calves to protect them from this cold and the rain. And in this way they were terrified. And of course, when the Vrajavasis are terrified or they are afraid of something, they are in anxiety, what do? They do what devotees are meant to do, which is to go and take complete shelter of Krishna. So the Vrajavasis, they went to Krishna. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga, Tvannatham Gokulam Prabho, Tratum Arhasi Devanaha, Kupitad Bhaktavatsala. Oh Krishna Krishna, they said Krishna's name twice. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga, O fortunate one, Tvannatham, you who are your own master. That means Krishna doesn't have any other master. Krishna is his own master and he is the master of everybody else. So you who are the master of yourself, Gokulam Prabho, O Lord of Gokula, Tratum Arhasi, please protect us. Devanaha Kupitad. The Deva, the Indra, has become very angry, Kupitad. He has become very angry with us. You are Bhakta Vatsala. You are very affectionate to our devotees. So please protect us. And how can Krishna ignore the fervent calls of his devotees for help and protection? And indeed, as the Vrajavasis say, that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, is very affectionate to his devotees. So immediately Krishna ran from the place where he was to Govardhan Hill. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a particular Shakti of Krishna, Samhariki Shakti, somehow or the other covered Krishna in such a way that as he was running from the place where he was to Govardhan Hill, not a drop of water could fall on him. So Krishna went up to Govardhan Hill, and Krishna and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why this particular period of intense misery for the Vrajavasis was arranged for them. Because till such time as Krishna actually went to the Govardhan Hill, the Vrajavasis had been tormented by the rain, the thunder, the lightning, the hailstones, the wind, and they were just suffering. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually, even though the pain that they were experiencing was intense, it wasn't material suffering. Eternal associates of the Lord and great devotees of the Lord, like the Vrajavasis, are not subject to the ordinary laws of material nature. So whatever quote-unquote suffering that they experience is actually an arrangement of the Lord. So in this case, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this was an arrangement by the pastime potency, the Leela Shakti of the Lord, to enable the Vrajavasis, or to induce the Vrajavasis actually, by virtue of this suffering, to deeply meditate on Krishna and to facilitate and enhance further loving dealings between them and Krishna. And he gives the analogy of a hungry man eating a meal. When one is hungry and one eats a delicious meal, the happiness of eating the meal is significantly enhanced because one has formerly been hungry. Trying to eat a delicious meal on a full stomach is not satisfying. But when you are hungry and you eat a good meal, then the meal becomes even something even more delicious and satisfying. So similarly, now Krishna arranged through his pastime potency to put these Vrajavasis into some misery for a period of time. As it was raining and water was flooding everywhere all around them, because Krishna wanted to give something very delicious at the end, something that would be extraordinarily blissful, and that was that all the Vrajavasis would come along with him and be with him for 7 days and seven nights under the Govardhan hill. And because the Vrajavasis would have gone through this suffering prior to coming under Govardhan hill, now they would really relish that period when they were with Krishna exclusively 24/7. So in any case, when the Vrajavasis pray fervently like this to Krishna to protect them, Krishna resolves to do that. He says, it is my vow that I will protect my devotees whenever they are in any difficulty. And now, because of the pride of my devotee Indra, he is causing so much pain to my Vrajavasis. So it is also my duty to relieve the demigod Indra of his mountain of pride. So with that resolve, he ran from his place to the Govardhan hill. And then what did he do? Shukadev Goswami says, ityuktvaikena hastena kritva govardhanachalam dadhara lilaya vishnuho chhatrakam iva balakaha. He says, iti uktva, having spoken thus meaning that I will protect my devotees, what did he do? Ekena hastena, with one hand, kritva, he did, what did he do? Govardhanachalam dadhara. Achala means that which doesn't move. So generally a mountain is also called an achala. Simhachala, Govardhanachala, Dronachala, etc. So then what did he do? Dadhara means to hold it. So ekena hastena, with one hand, Krishna then held up the whole Govardhan hill, lilaya, very easily, as if just in play. He who is Vishnu himself, chhatrakam iva balakaha. Chhatrakam means a mushroom, balakaha means a child. So Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill with one hand, easily, just as a child plucks a mushroom from the ground. Of course, for Krishna, Govardhan hill doesn't pose any challenge. It's not a difficult thing for he who maintains, destroys unlimited universes and is the cause of all of them as well. So just to lift one medium-sized mountain was not something extraordinary for the Lord. And in the Harivansha, which is kind of an appendix to the Mahabharata, it's also considered like a Purana, which Prabhupada also quotes often, or Acharyas quote often, it is explained that actually the ekena hastena, that Krishna lifted it with one hand, implies that actually Krishna lifted it with the left hand. And we see so many pictures of Krishna lifting Govardhan hill, and not only does he lift the Govardhan hill with the left hand, he does so with his little finger of the left hand. And there is a kind of a symbolism or a significance to this gesture of Krishna doing so with his little finger of the left hand. generally people are right-handed. Of course, there are so many left-handers as well, but the vast majority are right-handers. And as right-handers, it's very difficult to do things with the left hand. So, if something is very easy, then generally people say, oh, it's left hand's work for me, meaning that it's so easy I can even do it with my left hand. And so generally, if the symbolism behind lifting Govardhan with the left hand is that it's such an easy task for Krishna that he could lift it with his left hand. And the weakest finger in the five, amongst the five, is the little finger. So Krishna not only lifted the Govardhan with his left hand, but he did so with his little finger. And as he held it aloft, you know, he stood there very, very dashingly in a debonair fashion, standing there. And then he invited all the Vrajavasis to come. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that due to the ecstasy of feeling Krishna's touch, Govardhan did not feel any distress at the thunderbolts that were released upon him by Indra. On the contrary, to Govardhan it felt as if soft, fragrant flowers were being offered to him. This is the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who goes on to say that not only was Govardhan not at all affected by the heavy rain and the cold and the thunderbolts and the hailstones and so on, even the animals like the deer and the peacock and the others who were on top of Govardhan Hill were also similarly unaffected and untouched by all this misery. So as Krishna stood there holding aloft the Govardhan Hill, he invited the Vrajavasis to come under the Govardhan Hill. Now, it is quite understandable if when someone lifts aloft something like a mountain, what to speak of a mountain, even a small box with one hand, and asks us to come under the box, we will hesitate. Because what if the person is not able to hold it and the box comes crashing down on our head? And this was not just a box, this was a mountain. And it was being held aloft by a little 7-year-old boy on his left hand. So just in case the Vrajavasis had entertained any such doubts, Krishna went on to reassure them, and he told them that don't worry, my dear Vrajavasis, you please come here. I assure you nothing will happen, you will be completely safe. And they all came there, and there was ample room for all. So social distancing was not an issue, there was no problem in having adequate space, there was no crowding, they didn't have to squeeze in into a small place. There was sufficient room, and because of ecstasy, Govardhan Hill had expanded himself. The acharyas explained that Govardhan was a medium-sized hill, and there were hundreds of thousands of cows, not less than 900,000 cows that Nanda Maharaj had, and plus there were thousands of Vrajavasis, and then there were other animals as well. So how could they all accommodate under a medium-sized hill? So the acharyas explained that actually because of ecstasy, Govardhana expanded, and therefore there was ample space underneath Govardhan to accommodate all the Vrajavasis. And furthermore, the acharyas say that by Krishna's potency, the entire district of Mathura did not flood after the initial problem that happened. And it all started getting dried up. And the people in the area did not feel any difficulty. And it is also explained that Krishna Sudarshan Chakra actually rapidly, this is not stated in the Bhagavatam, but it is said by the Brajabasis, it is there in popular folklore, that the Sudarshan Chakra whirled around Govardhan Hill again and again and again, and because of its heat it evaporated all the water that could fall, so that the situation under the Govardhan Hill was very pleasant. There were no winds, there was no cold, there was no hailstones, there was no rain. It was a very pleasant climate under the hill as the Brajavasis stood there. And for 7 days consecutively and 7 nights, the Brajavasis, because of Krishna's desire and mercy, did not feel hunger, thirst, tiredness, sleep. They were simply in the greatest of transcendental ecstasy. And there was only one thing they were doing. For those 7 days and 7 nights, they were simply gazing with unblinking eyes at Krishna's beautiful form. And various types of transcendental exchanges were happening between Krishna and the gopis and the Krishna and others. And these are pastimes that we all hear when we go for a Govardhan Parikrama. So time obviously does not permit us to go into those pastimes. I'm sure you've heard them all, and you will hear them again when you go to Govardhan. So in any case, a most wonderful transcendental exchange happened between Krishna and his dear devotees. When 7 days and 7 nights had elapsed, and there was absolutely no effect on the Brajavasis, there was no harm caused, Indra realized what he had done. He realized his big blunder. And therefore he became very, very afraid and ashamed. He had now been suitably chastened. And at that time, he instructed the Samvartaka clouds to desist from pouring down any more rain. And he called them all back. When the rain had stopped and the climate became nice once again, even outside, then Krishna spoke to the Brajavasis and said, "My dear Brajavasis, now please go home now to your respective homes, carry on with whatever you were doing." And the Brajavasis stepped out from under the Govardhan Hill. And then Krishna gradually and gently placed Govardhan Hill down upon the ground again. The mechanics of how Krishna actually did it are of course inconceivable, because Krishna was standing in the center of the Govardhan Hill, and then to place it down he might have had to tilt it so that it could rest on one edge and then move to the corner and keep holding the hill, or whatever it is that Krishna did. He eventually put it gently down on the ground. If anyone can hold Govardhan Hill in the little finger of his left hand for 7 days, surely it's not going to be difficult for him to place it down again. And when Krishna was lifting the Govardhan Hill, he did not display even the slightest sign of exertion or exhaustion or any discomfort. He was simply looking charming and was smiling and casting very loving glances upon his devotees. So a most extraordinary event. And once the mountain had been placed down on the ground, all the Brajavasis rushed towards Krishna, and each of them dealt with him appropriately. So the older gopas and gopis embraced him, smelt his head, blessed him. The Brahmanas also came forth and chanted auspicious mantras for his protection, not realizing that it was he who had protected them actually. And they showered their blessings upon him. And those who were younger than Krishna came and started massaging his feet and offering obeisances. His friends of the same age came and embraced him and slapped his back and shoulders and said, "Well done, well done." And the young gopis were casting shy glances at Krishna. And in this way, all the Brajabasis had wonderful exchanges with Krishna after the performance of this Govardhan Leela. Meanwhile, from the higher planets, the demigods were witnessing all this with great wonder. And they began to celebrate this pastime by playing various types of instrument, musical instruments, and singing the glories of Krishna. And they also started showering flowers down onto the earth, onto Vrindavan. In this way, the Brajabasis went back to their respective homes and their engagements, and Krishna, Balaram, and the other cowherd boys went back to the place where they formerly were to continue to graze their cows. In this way, the 25th chapter comes to an end. Now, the 26th chapter begins, which is called Wonderful Krishna. In this chapter, we hear about the amazement that the Vrajavasis experienced after the pastime had happened, and how they went to Nanda Maharaj to get an explanation, to resolve the contradictions and confusion in their mind. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, says that while when the Brajabasis were under the Govardhan Hill, they simply gazed at Krishna. They had no other thought in their mind. There was no other activity. No eating, no sleeping, no drinking, no distraction at all. They were 100% focused simply on gazing at Krishna. It was only after this pastime had been completed and they had come to their respective homes that they all started analyzing what exactly had happened. And they started thinking in perplexity, this was really an extraordinary act. Now here is this 7-year-old boy. He's just like a child, but he has lifted this mighty Govardhan Hill, and he has killed so many powerful demons. So is he the Supreme Lord? Probably he is. He's God himself. But then we also know that he's just 7 years old and he's like a child. So who is he exactly? So they were quite bewildered about the identity of Krishna. So whenever the Brajabasis would be bewildered or needed some answer to their questions, etc., they would go to Nanda Maharaj, who was like a father figure for everybody, even for the older gopas and gopis. So all the Brajabasis approached Nanda Maharaj. And they said to Nanda Maharaj that this boy Krishna is so extraordinary. And how is it that he has taken birth in a community like ours, which is such a simple rural cowherding community? There's nothing special about us. We aren't so wealthy, we are not aristocratic, we are not learned, so we are not so powerful. But how is it that Krishna has taken this boy, Krishna has taken birth amongst us? And just consider, now this boy has lifted the whole Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights. Even when he was a child of just a few days old, he killed Putana. Then he lay under the demon card Shakatasura and killed him. Then he killed the whirlwind demon Trinavarta. And then when his mother bound him to the grinding mortar, which was very heavy, he pulled that grinding mortar along the ground as he crawled. And when the grinding mortar got stuck between two Yamalarjuna trees, he pulled the trees down. And then he killed this huge demon Bakasura by tearing its mouth. And this demon called Vatsasura, who took the form of a calf and came. Along with Balaram, he killed Dhenukasura and Pralambasura. He saved all of us from the forest fire. He subdued that fierce serpent demon Kaliya. And how is it that we are so affectionate to him? There is no limit to how much love we have in our hearts for Krishna. And how is it that he also spontaneously loves us in that way? This is quite bewildering. So who is this person? We see that when he does all these things, we start thinking he's God. But then we realize that when he's fearful, he goes and runs to his mother. And when his mother doesn't cuddle him, or his mother doesn't pamper him, then he gets angry. When we don't pamper him or cuddle him, then he becomes disappointed, he sulks. He plays so many games and pranks like a mischievous prankster. When there's thunder clapping in the sky, he gets afraid. So these are symptoms of an ordinary boy. He just laughs and plays and cries just like ordinary children. And he's only 7 years old. And yet he has done all of these things. So we are quite bewildered about who Krishna is and how is it that he has come here in our midst. So Nanda Maharaj smiled affectionately and told them, "Don't worry, let me settle all your doubts." He said, "You know, at the time of Krishna's appearance, soon after that, Garga Muni, our Kula Guru, our family priest, had come here. And he said, actually, that your son appears in every yuga, in every millennium, as an incarnation. Previously, he has come in the white, red, and yellow colors. And this time, he has appeared in a blackish form. So therefore, this child is actually not ordinary. He has appeared previously as the son of Vasudev, and therefore one of his names is Vasudev. Actually, he has many names and forms. And this boy will always act auspiciously for all of you Prajavasis. And he will protect you from all calamities and dangers. So, whenever the devotees are in danger, because Lord Narayana is with them, so they are always protected, they always emerge victorious in the end. There is no defeat for them. So similarly, all of you Brajabasis will always be protected and you will always emerge victorious because Krishna is with you. Narayana Samaha, he is exactly like Narayana. Garga Muni didn't exactly say that he was Narayana, but he said he is like Narayana in what? In transcendent qualities, in opulences, in name, in form, etc. So do not be astonished, O Nanda Maharaj, Garga Muni had said at that time. This boy will do good for all of you. And then Nanda Maharaj tells the Brajavasis, after hearing Garga Muni's statements, I have understood and I have begun to think of Krishna as an expansion of Narayana. And after hearing this elaborate explanation, the Brajavasis, who were basically very simple-hearted folk, and they were easily convinced by this explanation, they already love Krishna from the bottom of their hearts. They are the topmost devotees of Krishna in all of existence. Their perplexity was gone and they were feeling enlivened once again, and they offered their respects to Nanda Maharaj. The acharyas say that at that point in time, Krishna was playing in the forest, and when he returned, the Brajabasis worshipped him as well, and they offered all kinds of wonderful gifts to Nanda Maharaj as well as to Krishna. And everybody went back home completely satisfied, their bewilderment gone. And they said, never mind, we have Krishna. Whatever Krishna is, we don't care. But you know, he is our lovable Krishna. This is the situation in Vrindavan. And with that ends the 26th chapter. And now we have the 27th chapter, which is titled, Lord Indra and Mother Surabhi Offer Prayers. So this chapter describes how the Surabhi cow and Indra, having seen the amazing power of Lord Krishna, perform a bathing ceremony for him. So Shukadev Goswami says that after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill and thus protected the Vrajavasis from the catastrophe that Indra had unleashed on them, Surabhi came to see Krishna, and she was accompanied by Indra. Now, in the purport, we hear the commentaries of the Acharyas that actually after the Govardhan Leela had been performed, Indra became not only very ashamed, but he also became very afraid, because he had acted very improperly, imprudently, and being very frightened about the consequences of such a great offense at the lotus feet of the Lord and at the lotus feet of his pure devotees, the Vrajavasis, he became terrified of what would happen now to him. So, in great anxiety, he went to Lord Brahma. And Brahma said that, well, you've done a big blunder. So now you should go to Mother Surabhi, Mother Cow, because Krishna loves the cows. So you petition her mercy. Let her come with you. And then you go to Krishna in Vrindavan on the earth planet and you beg forgiveness from him. When Krishna sees Surabhi, his anger will be dissipated because he loves the cows so much. So then Krishna went to, Indra went to the planet of Goloka. It is explained that this Goloka is not the same as the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. There is a special planet of heavenly cows. It is a heavenly planet that is also called Goloka. That is a planet where Surabhi, the mother of the cows, reside. Along with her reside unlimited number of beautiful cows, Kamadenu cows, that give a lot of milk and that are very, very beautiful also. So he went to her, begged at her lotus feet, feeling very compassionate upon Indra and his plight. She agreed. And then together they went to Krishna. And Krishna, Indra approached Krishna in a solitary place. And it is explained from the commentaries of the Acharyas that the reason that Indra approached Krishna in a solitary place and was permitted to do so by Krishna was because Krishna did not want to humiliate him in public. Indra had indeed done a major blunder. So when somebody does a blunder, if any rectification has to be done, if any chastisement has to be done, any rectification or anything, it must be done suitably, appropriately, especially in private. It is a further humiliation to do that in public. So Krishna felt compassion upon his dear devotee Indra and felt that a solitary meeting place was necessary in order that Indra not become further humiliated. So then Indra came there to surrender and beg forgiveness from Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami says that at this location Indra fell down and lay his helmet. The effulgence of that helmet was as brilliant as the sun. And then he placed his head on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now that Indra had seen the enormous, unlimited transcendental power of Krishna, his false pride in being the Lord of the three worlds was completely smashed. holding his hands together in supplication, he addressed the Lord and offered wonderful prayers, very heartfelt prayers. In order to save time, I will not discuss those prayers. Suffice it to say here that Indra proclaimed the greatness of Krishna and his transcendental qualities. He spoke about the truth of Krishna, of Bhagavat Tattva, Krishna Tattva, and also spoke about his own foolishness in acting the way he did, and expressing his gratitude to Krishna that he had finally acted so mercifully upon him and smashed his false pride by exhibiting such a beautiful pastime as the lifting of Govardhan Hill. So then, Krishna heard the prayers very patiently, and Shukadev Goswami says, Evam Sankirtitaha Krishna Maghona Bhagavanamum Megha Gambhiraya Vacha Rahasan Idam Abraveer. Thus glorified by Krishna, by Indra, I beg your pardon, Krishna now spoke to Indra. How did he speak? In what kind of a voice? Megha Gambhiraya Vacha. Gambhir means deep. Megha means the clouds. So Krishna's speech at this time was like the rumbling of the clouds, very deep and resonant. Now remember that at this time Krishna was only 7 years old. Now a 7 year old child doesn't have a deep resonant voice. He has a very thin voice. So in this situation, it would appear therefore that Krishna assumed for the time being a role of being the Supreme Lord again, and he spoke in that deep baritone voice to Indra, and he gently admonished him, and he said, my dear Indra, it was out of my mercy for you that I stopped this sacrifice that was meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as the King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me. So Krishna wanted Indra to never forget that he was a servant of Krishna. So there was a mutual exchange of, you know, Guhyam Makhyati Pichyati, you know, exchange of confidences. Indra revealed his mind to Krishna, and now Krishna is also revealing his mind to Indra. Now I'll tell you the secret of why I acted in such a way. Because I did this for your sake, because you had done this and this was very wrong. So therefore I did this. So this is how the issues are resolved between people and between devotees. They approach each other. One who has wronged another person approaches in all humility, leaving aside all kinds of false pride, begs forgiveness. The other one is also soft-hearted and everything is patched up, and all the Vaishnavas live together very wonderfully. So anyway, Krishna continues, a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with a rod of punishment in my hand. Danda Panim. Panim means hand, danda means the rod of chastisement. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. So Krishna's mercy may come in different ways. Sometimes it may come when Krishna gives somebody opulence or position or power, and sometimes the mercy comes when Krishna takes away that opulence and that prestige and power. Krishna will do whatever is best, not only for his devotees, but for everyone. And then, after that, Krishna said to Indra, you may now go, execute my order, and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven, but be sober, without false pride. Stambha Varjitaihi. So be without stambha. Stambha means arrogance. Then after that, Mother Surabhi, along with all the cows, they came and offered obeisances to Lord Krishna. And she actually requested his attention, and she addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was present before Gopa Rupinam Ishwaram as a cowherd boy. And then Surabhi offered her beautiful prayers. You are actually our worshipable deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. So Surabhi, Mother Surabhi was actually telling Krishna, this Indra is a fake Indra. He's a make-believe Indra. This Indra is supposed to be the representative of the original Indra, the king, that is you. But he forgot that he was a representative of the real ultimate king. And he thought he had become an independent, all-powerful king. So therefore, actually, he is not Indra. You are the real Indra. And Brahma has ordered us to coronate you today. And we shall perform your abhishek, your bathing ceremony. As Indra, we shall coronate you as Indra, the real king, because you have descended to this earth to relieve the earth of all sorts of burden. And then Surabhi, along with the cows, performed the grand bathing ceremony of Lord Krishna with her milk. And Indra, and ordered by his mother Aditi, also arranged for a bathing of Lord Krishna with the water from the celestial Ganga, which was poured onto Krishna's transcendental body by Krishna's elephant, by Indra's elephant carrier Airavata. And thus, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna and gave him the name Govinda. So, for all of us who have been to Govardhan, we do know that these pastimes are still living in the form of the places there, Govinda Kund, Surabhi Kund. There are many such places in and around Govardhan which are still testimony to the fact that Krishna performed these different pastimes at these places. So Indra was actually embarrassed, but now, even though he was embarrassed to now worship Krishna, but he was encouraged by Mother Aditi, no, no, my dear son, go ahead and worship Krishna like this. And then all the demigods had assembled and they chanted the praise of the Lord and they showered flowers from above. There was great jubilation. Nature everywhere was in full flourish. And the trees were yielding sap and fruits and flowers of various kinds. And all the living creatures, even those who were habitually cruel, had actually become very gentle and loving. And then after this was performed, Indra took Krishna's permission and departed for his abode. So we see that when such bathing ceremonies, etc. are performed, Krishna is pleased and it creates a very auspicious ceremony. You know, when we were doing our bathing ceremony here, Abhishek, on Janmashtami, you know, because it is locked down, so only the brahmacharis in the temple were doing the Abhishek, and then we had it being broadcast online. So the devotees were watching, it was open to the public. So there was one person who came, we don't know who he is, not a devotee. He came online and he made some very, very uncharitable remarks, and he said some words to the effect that so many idiots wasting their time, you know, because the devotees are doing Abhishek. So he made this comment. Now, we understand from this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam what an Abhishek can do. Apart from the fact that it's good for the devotees who are performing it, good for the devotees who are watching it and celebrating Krishna's Janmashtami festival, it is actually good for the entire world. It is good for the society, for human beings, for animals, for the trees. Because Krishna is the root of all existence. And when Krishna is worshipped and served with devotion, by chanting His holy name, by hearing His pastimes, by worshipping His deity, by performing the Abhishek ceremony, just as Indra and the others did for Krishna, then everything around becomes auspicious, everything becomes surcharged with something wonderful, a devotional atmosphere is created, and everyone actually experiences some kind of relief from material distress and from their lower natures. So anyway, thus ends the 27th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Indra and Surabhi Offers Prayers. And with this, the four chapters of the 10th canto that describe the entire Govardhan Leela are now concluded. There are, of course, many wonderful other things to say about these pastimes, but I'm sure we all hear them when we go to Vrindavan, and time does not permit us to discuss those things. So I will stop here in order to facilitate a few questions. Thank you very much. Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Radha Giridhari ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for taking us on the journey of worshipping Govardhan and the various parts related to Govardhan. Thank you so much. So we've got a question here from Rupa Gupta Prabhu. The Brajavasis were covered by Yogamaya and thought Krishna was their darling little boy. Why then did the Brajavasis want to take Krishna's shelter, saying, Krishna, you are the master, please protect us?
Okay. Well, even though the Brajavasis considered Krishna as a cowherd boy, as their lovable, son or friend or whatever, but they still had experience that every time there was trouble in Vrindavan, it was Krishna who actually resolved the issue and rescued the Brajavasis from all kinds of calamitous situations. And it began when Krishna was 6 days old, when he killed the fierce demoness Putana. So from that time on, Krishna remained a great puzzle for the Brajavasis. But because they were full of love for him, they didn't really try to analyze it too much. But they only knew that whatever happens, somehow or the other, it is Krishna who will help us. So this is something very special about Vrindavan. You see, when Krishna displays his opulence in other places, the sense of intimacy that the devotees have towards Krishna is compromised by a spirit of awe and reverence that creeps into the heart of the devotee. For example, in Mathura, when Devaki and Vasudev witnessed the killing of Kamsa and Chanur and Mushtik and the other powerful wrestlers and so on, they were struck with wonder. And they started thinking, oh, we thought of Krishna as our son, but actually he's the Supreme Lord. And so their pure, simple, sweet, fraternal affection, Vatsalya Bhav, was compromised, was weakened, and Krishna did not like that. So he covered them again with Yogamaya, so that they could once again look at Krishna as their son. So when Krishna displays his opulences, his power, in other places, the sweetness of the love of the devotee somewhat gets compromised. But not so in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, even though Krishna demonstrated his prowess time and time again, almost every day, nevertheless, this did not compromise or diminish the sweetness of the love of the Brajavasis for Krishna. On the contrary, it only enhanced the sweetness of their love. So here is this apparent paradox, that the more Krishna displayed his power and opulence, the more the sweeter that the love of the Brajavasis became for Krishna.
Thank you, Master, for clarifying that. We've got another question from Lavanga Latika. Krishna convinced Nanda Maharaj by philosophy that the offering should be made to Indra. Sorry, should not be made to Indra. Why then was Indra not convinced by Krishna's argument?
Okay. Krishna was not convinced by, or rather Indra was not convinced by Krishna's argument because Indra was looking out for worship for himself. He did not understand at that point that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said twice, Krishna Martyam, Krishna Martyam, that Krishna was an ordinary human child. So therefore, he was looking at a worship for himself, and when that was taken away from him, he became furious. And also, he did not like what Krishna was saying, because what Krishna was saying is that karma is supreme, so what has Indra got to do with it? The three modes of material nature are supreme. What has Indra got to do with it? So naturally, this was not something that was to Indra's liking. So he didn't accept what Krishna said, and he was certainly very unhappy with the fact that the sacrifice that was meant for him was now stopped.
Thank you, Maharaj. We've got a question from Sundaranand Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances, this is always your Prabhupada. How does our increase of faith help us in experiencing the beauty of these pastimes and hand of Krishna in our lives?
Actually, everything is a matter of our vision, how we see things. And vision depends on our consciousness. So, and consciousness in spiritual matters depends on faith and devotion. The more our faith and devotion in Krishna, the more we will be able to relish these pastimes and enter into them. The more we will be able to feel devotion for the Supreme Lord and His dear devotees. So this is very, very important part. The process of hearing does enhance our faith and our devotion, and it increases our taste and it makes us want to hear more. I think one last question.
Okay, thank you. We've got another question from Sundaranand Prabhu. What is the dharma of the Samvartaka cloud? To obey his master or obey the master of creation? As you said, Maharaj, even if Krishna speaks of philosophy in contradiction, we should not accept that.
Yes, you see, the Samvartaka cloud was not meant to be a philosopher or someone very well versed in the scriptures and the scriptural conclusions and so on. Maybe he's a devotee as well because he's living on the heavenly planets, maybe. But essentially, he was performing these duties as a faithful servant of his master Indra. He was probably not aware of the intricacies, even Indra was not aware, so how would Samvartaka be aware of the glory of who Krishna is and the glory of the Vrajavasis and so on. So naturally the Samvartaka cloud, although very hesitant to do such a thing prematurely, nevertheless did it out of his spirit of obedience to his master, who otherwise was all right. But something happened to him today, and so anyway, the Samvartaka cloud, you know, obeyed his master. But he must have understood later as well. So, okay, I think we'll stop here because it is time.
Maybe one final question, Maharaj, is that okay?
Okay, sure.
Was there a reason why it took 7 days and seven nights for Indra to realize his mistake? As generally when you make a mistake, you realize it, you know, somewhat, like immediately. Why? Is there any particular reason why it took 7 days?
Well, you know, time is relative within the universe. So 7 days for us on earth is a very short time for Indra. We must remember that 6 months on earth is 12 hours on the demigods' planets. So 1 year on the earth is a full 24-hour period for them. So it actually speaking was a short period for Indra, but it was 7 days for us on earth. And it was good that it happened, because if it was just a momentary lifting of Govardhan Hill, it would not have been as charming, because Krishna would not have been able to fulfill his inner desire of wanting to have transcendental exchanges with the Brajabasis exclusively and uninterruptedly for a significant length of time. Okay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. On behalf of the Eskalan Retreat Team, we'd really like to deeply appreciate you from the bottom of the heart for giving us your precious time to share with us these pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. And we hope you can join us again for your next retreat potentially. Thank you.
Thank you very much to all the devotees, and it's wonderful you having such programs there, and wish you all well for your good health and for your Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.